I am so glad that Lee got you guys talking. So, I'm Emily. Hey there. I'm a biblical counselor from Salem, Oregon, and I'm also on the ABC team as the training center advisor for ABC, so I help start and coach our training centers that are all around the United States and Canada and some around the world. So thankful for this opportunity to be here, but I'm not a preacher like Lee and Pete. I'm a teacher, and I teach Equipped to Counsel classes in Salem, Oregon. And my classes are all at round tables, and we do lots of talking. And so standing up here for an hour talking is not my style. I'm going to try to do that. But I love that you guys talked, and I'm going to do a little bit of that too, just because at conferences even you get kind of tired of just listening to people for hours and hours and hours, and it's nice to process and discuss. So hopefully we can work some of those in. I'm going to be sharing today about beginning well, starting the counseling process well. And I'm going to speak in a context of in-church counseling ministry, just kind of like Lee did, but I also want to speak to those that are in parachurch, online counseling ministry, professional context too. So hopefully I can incorporate a little bit of that in there. Lee asked this, but how many of you have been through Equipped to Counsel in this room? So a good amount. How many of you have done that in a training center? So how many did that online then? Okay, perfect. I love that because one of the things that's different in a training center than online is in a training center, we do a lot of this fundamental methodology stuff because we have opportunity to just teach extra things. So we're starting talking about the process where online, you're really going through Equipped to Counsel and the articles and you get the mini practicum, which gives you a little bit of a methodology, right? So really thankful that you're here. I think this is a perfect track for those who have gone through it online. If you haven't done Equipped to Counsel, we have opportunities to do that in training centers all over the country and online. This will be a really good kickoff for you. If you want to get certified or go through the training, you can come talk to me about that a little bit more throughout the weekend if you want to. So, but before we drive in, let me give you a roadmap of kind of where we're headed in this track. Lee really kicked us off well with our call to care, our need to care. But we want to kind of give you this methodology over the whole weekend. And we're going to start today with how to begin well. And then we're going to talk about how to unpack a person's story in counseling. We're going to talk about how to understand somebody at that deeper heart level, kind of that root cause of what's going on and what's the fruit that's coming out of them. We're going to talk about how to apply the gospel to counseling, whether that's to a new believer or somebody that is a believer. Paul Tripp did a great job of kind of kicking us off with that. We're going to talk about how our beliefs about God shape how we see our circumstances and how to share scripture in counseling, so a method for that. And then finally, how to end well. And in our last session, we're going to unpack a case study as a team so you can see kind of how all of these pieces apply to one particular case, okay? So that's where we're going for the weekend. And hopefully you come out with like, okay, I can kind of see how biblical counseling can roll out with a person and some practical tools in the process. So today we're going to start with starting. And by the end of our time together, I hope that you can understand some of the essential components in starting well and get a strong beginning for your counseling sessions. So let's begin with the girl, Sarah, and we'll meet her again in session 8. She's going to be who we unravel at the end. So Sarah walked into my office for her first counseling session, and she was nervous, and she was hesitant, and she was unsure about what to expect. Her countenance was very withdrawn. She sat down, and I could see the burden that she carried, and not just in her posture, but just in her eyes. She was heavy. And Sarah had taken a significant step in simply just showing up. And I knew, though, that she needed just more than a conversation. She really needed hope. And we're going to meet Sarah kind of through this lesson. But I'm going to ask you guys to talk to your neighbors again. Before you put up that next slide, let's just leave this slide here. Let's talk and ask, how would you prepare yourself as a counselor? Okay, so what things would you do as a counselor to be prepared just to meet this person? So I'll give you a couple minutes to talk about that, okay? Think about Sarah coming in. How would you prepare yourself as a counselor? All right, another 30 seconds or so. All right. Do we have any loud voices in the room that are willing to share one thing you might do to be prepared as the counselor? Pray. Perfect. Such a good way. We're going to talk about that. What other ways might we be prepared as the counselor? Yes. Pray before and pray with. Yes. What other things? Yeah. Exactly. You have to be filled up before you can even pour out. So good. Another one? One more? Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, what can we know about this person so we can even just prepare our heart to meet this person? Perfect. You guys are awesome. I don't even need to teach this, right? Okay. Well, let's talk about a few things that I have, because there's so many ways that we would prepare as a counselor, but here's just three that I came up with, and you've already come up with them too, but counseling out of the overflow of what God's already doing in us. So how many times have you been studying God's word that week for a Bible study, for a small group, for a teaching prep, or just in your own devotional life, and then God brings you person after person after person, and that same scripture that God has used to impact you, are you able to pour out to somebody else? And that happened, like, I don't know why that amazes me so much every time, but every time that happens, I'm like, wow, God, like, I was studying that for me. It impacted me so much that I was able to just share that with this person that's grieving, and this person that's anxious, and this person that's troubled by a wayward child. It all applied, and you used that for me first, and then I was counseling out of the overflow of that. So spend time with the Lord. He fills you up. Study and prepare, and that living and active word of God meets you personally, and then out of the overflow of that, you're able to help others. And then I like to say, check our own heart, because, you know, Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, right? See if there's any wicked ways in me. And we want to go into it just looking at our own self. And some of that was said in the pre-conference this morning, which I just loved. It's, you know, we have... we have things to give, but we have to kind of examine where we're at. Why are we even doing this? Why are we wanting to invest in this person? We need to be humble in the way that we come alongside people. We need to learn to listen well and stop talking. Lee said that. We do a lot of talking as counselors, but we need to listen. And then we need to have that humility of like, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers. So we tell those people that we trained, counseling is often an emergency for that person, but it's probably something that's been going on for them for a long time. We don't have the answer that day. We can say, hey, thank you for sharing. I'm going to get back to you. I'm going to meet with my team leader. I'm going to go do some research. I'm going to get back to you on a plan going forward. We can be humble in that way. We need to check our own heart and then pray. Absolutely, we need to pray. Pray that the Spirit of God will show up. We are not the Almighty Counselor. He is. And I actually often pray that in the room, just acknowledging my capabilities, which aren't great, and His capabilities that are great. And I pray and recognize that I'm not the Almighty Counselor, but Lord, You are, and You know how to help speak into this person's life. So pray for wisdom and discernment and a heart of compassion as we meet that person. And secondly, we need to be prepared for the person. So before Sarah ever walked into the room through the door, we should take time to prepare for her specifically. And first-time counselees often arrive with this mix of emotions. I don't know if any of you have ever personally gone to counseling. If you haven't, you should, so you can experience that kind of uncertainty. Maybe there's shame, maybe there's skepticism, like, is this person going to even be able to help me? Is this going to work out? Will they judge me? Will they understand what I'm going through? Can this counseling help me? So anticipating these concerns, we want to pray beforehand, asking the Lord to give wisdom and patience. But let's prepare by mentally preparing, so learning as much about the story as possible. Somebody said if there's an intake form or a PDI paperwork, what can you learn or gather just from looking at what they maybe wrote down as why they're applying for counseling. Reviewing any notes or histories or backgrounds. If you're counseling in a church, it may be that their small group leader recommended for counseling, so there's been a conversation. You might be gathering some information that way. If you work on a team, maybe they've met with somebody in the past, so you're trying to kind of just learn as much about them as you can before they come in. We want to cultivate empathy for them because remembering their courage, like they're brave. It's hard. It is hard to come into counseling. So we want to acknowledge that it's a positive step for them. Some things we read even on the intake forms, it could be like kind of trigger some annoyance in us. We're like, oh man, like they're a mess and they've made bad choices, or maybe they're sent to counseling because their spouse is like, you're gonna go see your pastor, you're gonna go see this counselor, or like, I'm out. And so we're getting somebody in that predicament, and we want to see them in that accurate way. We want to spiritually prepare for them, and it was mentioned a couple times even this morning in that pre-conference, and then Lee talked about that book, Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison, or that article, How Healthy Is Your Preparation for Counseling by David Pallison. Great article in the CCF Journal of Biblical Counseling. So we want to view them as an image bearer of Christ. We want to ask God for wisdom when we're about to see them. And then I like to think about Matthew 9:36, and we talk about this with our counseling training program too, just seeing people as Jesus sees them with that deep compassion. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. And that's kind of like this even churning in your gut compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. So before we even meet them, we want to be prepared for them in that way. And then the practical preparations, like How will you structure the first session? How might you introduce yourself? Nobody really likes to talk to a stranger. So I've been into a couple counseling situations. A person sits down, hi, I'm Emily. And then we're just asking about them. Well, they don't know anything about you. So if they're not part of your church and they don't already know you, I like to have like three sentences. Hi, I'm Emily. I've been married for 27 years. I have two young adult children in college. I live in this neighborhood. I've lived here for many years. I like to walk my dog. You might see me out here sometimes. I've worked at this church for 10 years in biblical counseling. And I love God's word, and I love meeting with women, and I'm so happy that you're here today. So I'm not a total stranger then to them. Don't assume that they know who you are. It's easier to talk to somebody you know a little bit. And so we want to then prepare just some guiding questions to facilitate a conversation as needed. So if you've had that in like an intake form where they filled out like raising their hand, I need counseling, what can you look on there to think about, well, what other questions might I have based on what they stated, and just be ready for them with that additional paperwork. The next thing is we want to be prepared in the place. So imagine this Sarah coming in for a first contact, and she's coming in, and we want to make her feel at ease. So just even these little details from the first point of contact to the physical space or the virtual space can build trust or can increase anxiety about the situation. So let's talk about some thoughtful preparation. And first impressions start early. So how are you welcoming Sarah before she even meets you? Consider your first tone of an initial email or a phone call even. We have a counselor on our team. I love this. She gets paired, matched up with a counselee, and she emails them right away. Hi, I'm Pam. I'm so excited to meet you next week. In a little bit about herself. And I just think that's such a nice, kind touch, because our counselees don't pick their counselor. The church assigns them a counselor. And so that gives that little, like, first impression. How are you getting in touch with her with a phone call? Is it warm and reassuring? Does it communicate what to expect? Like, where are you going to park? Where do you enter in? Are they, you know, if you're coming in and you're already anxious and you come in the wrong door and it's locked and nobody's there and it's dark, that adds to your anxiety. So we want to be really clear so we can reduce that uncertainty. And then when she comes in, we want her to be greeted. We want a warm smile. So whether that's you greeting, or there's someone on your office staff greeting, or it's a virtual greeting, we want to make sure that we're being warm and thoughtfully and prepared. And then we want to have a good space for counseling. So is the room inviting? Too hot? Too cold? Are the chairs super uncomfortable, so by the end of the session, your back is hurting? If it's virtual, is your background calm or professional? Thankfully, you can like blur your background now, or like make yourself on a beach, or I don't know, all these things. But hey, I meet with people all around the country, and they're not counseling me, so I don't expect their background to be for counseling. But some people have really distracting backgrounds, like messy, unmade bed in a pile of laundry, or, you know, like weird open doors in the back where you're like, is somebody back there listening? It doesn't seem so. Think about that if you're doing something virtually, that your background is just not distracting, that it's going to make them feel comfortable. And then we want to make sure we're ensuring privacy and confidentiality. And so I know Lee talked about like the ethics of that, and that nothing's, you know, in the church we have some different views on those kinds of things, but we want to make them feel like it's private and confidential. But also, does our office have a balance of openness so that it's not too closed up? Like, we have little windows in office doors, so somebody could walk by and there's a view there, but also we want to make sure that it's soundproof and that there aren't interruptions and that there isn't a cat like climbing over you as you're counseling somebody on Zoom, you know? And then that was a pun to my friend Shauna, because her cat, but she's not counseling me, but her cats come in, right? So, but we want to make sure that we're avoiding backgrounds and things that look like you're in a shared living space or whatever. Early on in our church, we had to do counseling in the nursery, in a little corner, or in a coffee area over here. So set it up so that it still feels like they're in a private space for you. And so I know we all grab shared spaces a lot in churches, and that's great too. So let's talk about first session essentials, okay? I'm gonna have you talk in your little groups again and kind of come up with, what did I say? What are two or three key elements that make a strong first session, okay? So now we've already like met her, we've intaked her, we've done all that, but in the first session, what would be two or three elements that would make for a really strong first session? So I'm gonna give you a few minutes to talk about that. Okay, like 30 more seconds. Okay, before we get to that, do we have any West Coast people with the red? Got some West Coast people. Where are you guys from? Reno, are you with Encounter? Awesome, we love that training center. What, we have one right here. Where are you from? Utah, hey, we don't have any training centers there, so come talk to me. we're not good in the middle of the state, so all right, there's my West Bay. Is there another West Coast? Bay Area, awesome, love that. And I'm John, where are you from? Wyoming, that's right. Did you know in Wyoming it's a Wyoming night? No, did I say that right? So I'm an Oregonian, but she's a Wyoming knight. Isn't that a mouthful? I learned that today. So much. Okay. Anyways, Wyoming is beautiful, but apparently you don't want anybody else to move there. So, okay. So don't move there. Just go visit there. Okay. Anyways. All right. First session essentials. So what are some essentials that you guys would think in a very first session? loud voice people. Oh, yes, that's perfect. So I had that too, that we want to give them hope. We want to leave them with something to hang on to, right? Maybe it's they have to hang on to your hope in God's hope because they just don't have any of that. So affirming that courage that it takes, giving them something practical, like what passages do you go to when you need hope? So we don't have to know the full counsel of God to do counseling. I recommend with my new counselors, I'm like, have 5 passages that give you hope for various emotions that you can go to easily. But start with the 5. What gives you hope? And then how can you give them hope with those? So leave them with something practical, too, that they can maybe just take to try this week. Maybe it's even just a practical suggestion of, you know, getting up and being in God's word, or listening to a psalm every day on your Bible app, or maybe you give them a worship song that you want them to listen to. So have your hope tools so that you can give those to them. And you don't have to have every scripture memorized to be able to do that. What are the ones that bring you hope? Psalm 40 is a big one for me because when I was in the miry bog, God put my feet on a solid rock, and he used that psalm about waiting patiently in the muck and mire. And so I use that a lot with people that feel like their trial is so long, so long. So great one. Give hope. What other ones? What connection? No, it's okay. Facilitate. Yeah. Yeah, facilitate connection, absolutely. I think that, like, build a relationship is kind of how I worded it. Just trying to get to know them, trying to build rapport with them. Like I said, sharing a little bit about yourself to build some rapport. Even asking them, like, how are you feeling coming in today? How are you doing? Allow that counselee to, like, settle in before you dive in on stuff, right? So if they're not settled and they have their stuff and they just look uncomfortable, like, just be patient and wait. Wait for them to settle and get comfortable. So building that relationship and that connection is another important one. What else do we have? Yeah. Absolutely. Clarify expectations. That's another one that I had too. So explaining what biblical counseling is and what it's not. I think that's a big thing because we want to be really clear on what we have to offer. It's not therapy. It's not help or quick fix. It is not self-help, right? So we are going to be doing a process of discipleship in the Word of God. We're going to be using Scripture to speak to your suffering and your circumstances. There might be some sort of homework or growth assignment. There usually is, because we assume that God is working just as much between sessions as he is in the session, right? If not more. If they put the work into it, he should be really working in their life in that. So we want to clarify things like what our confidentiality policy is, what to expect in the process. I'm going to put up a QR code at the end. It links you to the church, Salem Heights Church, where I am a biblical counselor in Oregon. And we have, like, our intake form in there and our confidentiality and our counseling handbook and all of those things. And you're free to take them, use them, change them, reword them, put your logo on them, whatever you need. There's a ton of resources there for you that we will give you. And so some of those things about confidentiality are on there. Any other things? I had a couple more, but what do you have? Yeah. Yes, so I would say, like, gathering information, right? So gently starting to gather information And we have that intake form, so that's one way. We want to understand the counselee may be hesitant to share information at first, like they're going to kind of test the waters with you as they begin to share things to kind of see what your reaction might be. But gathering things like, have they been to counseling before? What did they think about it? Why do you want counseling? What are you seeking counseling for? Beginning to listen to their story for their thinking, their feeling, their responses to things in their life. And Lee's going to help us in our next session talk about kind of how to unpack their story. So we won't get into that too much in this session. But we're going to begin to gather information about them so that we get to know them better. So lastly, I had on here establish goals. So what do you hope to gain from counseling? Some goals will be clear in their story, what they've said to you, I don't want to be anxious anymore, but others might seem overwhelming. And so a couple years into counseling, I met with this like 72-year-old woman, and it took her about an hour or more just to share her story when I said, tell me a little bit more about yourself. And her life was horrific from birth to now. Like, it was the worst story I've ever heard. It was things that had happened to her. It was choices she made. It was tragic. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to work on? Like, what are we, I don't know what to do with all this, you know? And I wasn't very experienced. And I said, well, what do you want to work on in counseling? And she said, I'd like to work on growing closer to the Lord. And so I said, okay, we can do that. And she didn't want to unpack her whole story. She didn't want to do a big, like, trauma analysis. She just wanted to learn how to grow closer to the Lord. And so that's what we worked on. And I was so thankful that I didn't try to determine myself what she really wanted or what she needed to work on. You can use things like assessments. Our ABC member area has great assessments, journaling assignments, or other things even after that first session, so that you can kind of see more what's going on with them. I love being able, if they're like, I really want to work on my anger, I love to be able to hand them an anger assessment and say, hey, like, fill this out for next time, so that we have some more talking points about what their anger looks like, and I can begin to unpack that a little bit more with them. So good job, you guys. You got most of the ones that I had, which probably really screwed up the slides here. But we're going to talk a little bit about some other first session essentials, and we're going to watch a couple little videos. So the first one is learning to listen. And I think the purpose of a man's heart, if we look at Proverbs 25, the purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So we want to listen patiently to people before jumping to conclusions. I've so easily like, okay, they're in here for depression. I get the type. I've seen this before, and I just kind of want to move into what the counsel is, and that's wrong, because if you've counseled one person for depression, you've counseled one person. Everybody is so unique. Their stories are so unique, and we need to be careful not to just assume and jump into those kind of situations. We want to give space for counselees to share without fear or judgment, and we want to resist the urge to fix or advise too quickly. So we're going to watch this next little video clip on listening. And so it's about 5 minutes. This is one of our ABC resources that we sell in our bookstore. We sell these counseling observation videos, which is a great way to learn how to do counseling. And if you're going to do level 2, it can count for 10 hours of your observation criteria. So, all right, you want to play
Jeff,
that?
It's good to finally meet you. And in our first session, I always like to just get a lay of the land of where you are and what you're hoping to get from our time together.
I honestly don't know what to get from our time. I just know that I've been struggling with chronic pain, and I don't think my wife really understands that, and I struggle just with everything seems to be inconvenient because everything always hurts. So I'm just pretty angry right now.
Man, I can really relate to that. Last year I had a back injury and I was out of commission for like 3 months and felt like my wife didn't care. So I can get that and totally understand. And really, I know that's got to be hard for you. For me, it was just a lot of medication and just trying to get through the day.
Oh, so you're on medication now?
Not anymore, but I was. And it really made a difference. I needed it at the time because there was an injury. But I totally, my wife was also really neglectful during that time. Actually, our marriage really suffered because I was just pretty much incapacitated.
So my struggle is I had an accident. I'm in construction.
I used to work in construction when I was in college. That's cool.
Go really? Ahead.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was hard.
So how'd you become a counselor if you went from construction to counselor?
Well, that was just when I was in my undergrad. I worked a little bit of construction when I was at school.
So my wife, again, so my marriage is struggling because of my chronic pain, and I just don't even know what to do at this point. Mm.
All right, Jeff, it's been awesome spending the last month each week with you. I know you've been going through a lot of difficult things, so let's just continue talking about some of the pain, the physical pain, and the detachment with your wife and some of the anger that you've been telling me about.
Yeah, thank you. I think since last time, because it's been a few weeks since we've seen each other, but really same things, really, it just, they seem to be increasing. I've recently got on a new medication because I expressed some concern from my doctor that I feel like maybe I'm starting to get attached to it. Like it's, you know, like I'm fearful of becoming addicted, but the pain just seems to be unrelenting at times. And I don't like the way I treat my family, specifically my wife, because I grow so impatient with her because I feel like she just doesn't. It's like she understands to some point, but then she still expects me to do things and I don't really want to do them. But I know I should do them and I kind of want to do them because I hate being limited, you know, because of my chronic pain. And so I'm just in this constant frustration, it seems like.
Well, I can hear in you some conviction in that and have a lot of compassion. You know, I don't want to focus on this, but several years ago, I was in somewhat of a similar situation. And so I'm not saying I completely understand your pain, but I've had some injury before and can kind of step in your shoes. And my heart feels really heavy for you right now in regards of just that battle of wanting to do right, but feeling on edge all the time.
I appreciate that. Do you mind me asking if you were on any medication or anything?
I was, yeah. So I know how that can kind of get in the mix of somebody's attitude at times. But for you, I want to encourage you that even though you're wrestling and even though you're not where you would like to be, I want to encourage you that it sounds like God's grace is very much with you because there's a conviction there. There's a desire to try to keep working.
Is that what it is? Because I think that's probably, you know, obviously as a Christian, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but I think that's probably my biggest frustration because I can look at my wife and I can be irritated and frustrated at the situation and then with her. But I also realize in that conviction that it's really I'm angry with God. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I'm alone and by myself and nobody else is around and can hear what I'm saying out loud in my frustration, I am angry with God because I don't understand why nothing seems to like really just alleviate the pain. I just feel like life is just bench pressing me. Mm. It's like I can't breathe, it feels like sometimes.
So would you like for the rest of our time today to unpack a little bit this anger with God?
Yeah, I think that'd probably be helpful.
All right.
I always like to show that to my class and not tell them that the first one's a bad example, just to kind of like get their little reaction out of it. But Well, that was a compare and contrast video, obviously, where the first one, he's not listening. In fact, it takes a turn to where now the counselee is starting to counsel the counselor and starting asking him questions. And so versus the next one where he let him talk, he let him share a story. He did share a little bit about himself, like, I get it. I've been there. I understand. And that's that kind of that same building rapport skill that we were talking about, where you're a person too, right? And so, but that was such a good example of that. The next one we're going to talk about is learning to ask good questions, and hopefully the questions come more from the counselor rather than the counselee. Counseling the counselor, but Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it's his folly and shame. And so we're going to watch another little clip where we're going to see how good questions actually help uncover what's truly going on with the person. And I would say this is a skill. Some people are just naturally good question askers. You've been around those people where they're like, you sit with them and they just ask you question after question after question, and they've gotten so much of your story, and then you leave and go, wait, I don't really know anything about them because they were so good at asking about me. But for the rest of us, it's a skill to learn. We get better at it as we meet with people and learn how to do that. And so even if that's not your thing right at first, you will get better at it as you practice and learn how to use better questioning. So let's watch this compare and contrast video. Now it's not going to be as shocking to you. So go ahead and laugh the first time, okay?
All right, Jeff. So, how are you?
Not too good today.
So you don't feel very good?
No, I've been in pain since 4 o'clock this morning.
Is that pain really difficult?
It is. The medication doesn't really seem to, it's like trying to take Advil for a headache, but it's still sort of there.
What do you feel?
I'm shooting pain in my back, my lower back specifically. So even sitting here right now talking to you is painful.
So right now you're in pain?
Yes.
And is that challenging?
Very challenging.
Is it frustrating?
Yeah, I think I said that already. Mm.
Tell me, do you feel like you can continue talking today, or is the pain too much?
No, as you know, I have chronic pain, so I don't know if I understand the question. Why would you? I mean, of course.
Well, I'm just trying to understand kind of where you are right now. So you're feeling a lot of pain at the moment.
Yes.
So Jeff, can you just give me a summary of how your week has been, how you're feeling right now?
My week, if I were to put in a percentage, is about a 40% week, and right now I'm at about 5%. Mm-hmm. I've been in pain since 4 o'clock this morning.
And when you say 5%, can you elaborate on what you mean there?
Yeah, 5% meaning I want to cuss right now, and I just want to scream because I'm just even sitting here, as you know, I've shared with you, it's my lower back, and there's just certain movements that I get shooting pains, and and some days I just have to kind of deal with it, and kind of right now I want to be here, but it's a bit painful. Mm.
Yeah, so I can only imagine how challenging it is to try to talk through serious issues while you're sitting there in pain. Just kind of tell me what's going on in your heart and your mind as you're trying to wrestle through.
Well, I think the wrestle, honestly, Jeremy, is because of the pain, it's almost like my anger always seems to be an open monologue in my head. Like my mind's constantly in, you know, and I don't want to take it out on people that I'm talking to. I don't want to continue to be impatient with people, specifically my family, namely my wife. And then also just being frustrated with God. It's like, even when I go to church, it's like, Lord, if there's a place that I can go, especially in your home, like in your house of worship and just being in your presence, like, how do I deal with that pain? And I'm trying to focus on him, but all I can do is focus on my pain. Mm.
You mentioned a monologue in your mind. What does that sound like?
Sounds like a lot of cursing. It's a lot of things that I wouldn't, a lot of expletives, a lot of things that I wouldn't want to say in your face, because you would probably feel like I'm taking it out on you.
And is that challenging? Is it convicting? Do you have guilt? Do you have?
Oh my gosh, the shame and the guilt. And I think that's why I'm so frustrated with God, because I feel like the pain compounds the problem, right? Mm. So it's like when I'm praying and asking the Lord to take it away, it's just, it's tough because, like, I don't like to feel like I'm angry with him because I know it's something he could take away. Mm.
That sounds very, very challenging. And I want to talk more as we continue today just about the grace of the Lord and his gospel in the midst of that frustration and struggle. Mm.
Okay. I love that example too, but I actually relate to the first one because I'm not the best question asker. I've had to learn over the years, so I feel like I've been in those really clunky, like, oh no, I'm just rapid firing a bunch of yes and no questions. And so the second example was really good because those were open-ended questions where it was just, tell me more about that. What does that look like? What's going on in your head? How are you feeling? Because then the person can tell you anything that they want to tell you about that, rather than your pigeonhole thinking or feeling. And so I remember kind of early on, you know, when I was asking some bad questions and getting these, you know, were you angry? Yes. Did you yell? Yes. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, when someone's angry and yells, it looks like this. You know, it just, that looks like some, when my dad got really mad and he's a really big guy and he's really yelling. Whereas, like, maybe if I asked the right questions, I would find out that angry and mad didn't look the same as what I viewed it to look like. So you want to help, you want to get to the point where you're actually really clarifying what the story looks like and what the picture looks like and not putting your own lens through it. So those really open-ended, tell me more questions are good. And so that video has more examples and it's a really fun one to watch, and it's convicting, really. Because how often do we start to talk about our own self sometimes in counseling and we realize, like, that's happened to me before where I, you know, you have this good question asker type counselee and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, they're like avoiding their own thing and asking me a bunch of questions. And so it really, these skills really do help us to be able to kind of examine our own counseling. Kind of the last one is just to be patient, remembering that Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Christ. And so early on, we need to be really patient. Change takes time. Sanctification is a lifelong process. We may just be a little part of that, a little part of their process and a little part of the change. And so it's easy to just, even in the beginning, they're starting to tell you their story, to like rush to solutions or advice giving or the end of the road. And we need to really try to avoid doing that, but really allow the Spirit to begin to do his work in that person as we get to know them and as we begin to unpack their story. So encouraging kind of these small steps of faithfulness with the person instead of kind of trying to like push them to where we think that they need to be, even really early on. It's easy to see like a person too with multiple issues and multiple problems going on, and maybe they want to work on this one thing, but you think, wow, this other stuff is just way bigger, and want to go there and kind of want to give advice and take over when they really want to work on this one thing. So we want to make sure that they're heard and that we're really going the direction that God is already working or stirring them to come in for. One of our marriage counselors at our church tells this story about this couple that came in and really wanted help with a grandparenting relationship with their grandkids. And when they got into some things, they realized, oh, there's some things in their marriage like they really need to work on. But they stuck to what this couple really wanted to work on. And that couple was so thankful. That was it, they felt the counseling went so well. The feedback was so good from them. And we just have to pray that when God has the other things to work through, that he's going to bring them back around, and that they've now have a good relationship with this counseling couple, and they'll be able to go back to them when it's time. So be patient with people. Lastly, I just want to go through some common challenges that we have when we're beginning with people. And the first one is that they're just reluctant to engage. A lot of times people come in to seek relief. They're not ready, though, to do the work of counseling. And we find that early on sometimes. And so, you know, there's a lot of, if only my husband would change, if only my child would be different, if only I had more money in the bank, if only I had a job, if only I wasn't in pain, whatever it was. And they want to talk about that, they want some relief, but they're not really ready to do the work that it requires to get to the deeper root of all of that. And so that's okay. We oftentimes, if we feel like we're, as the counselor, working harder than the counselee, it might be time for a conversation to say, hey, is this just not a really good time to do counseling? Because in the church, oftentimes we're in kind of more of a short-term model because there's a lot of people that need care. So we're going to meet with them for 2 to 4 months. And we have people waiting that want to meet with counselors. And so if they're not ready, then maybe there's a better time for them to be ready. Another common challenge in the beginning is just a reluctance to trust God or you as the counselor. And so they have fear or shame or past trauma. It makes it difficult for them to open up. And they might test the waters with you, share a little bit of the story, and kind of see what you do with it. So I had a woman that was in her 50s, and she came in for counseling for depression. And we met like 6 times, and she was doing her growth assignments, and she was faithful at coming in, but it just wasn't really, didn't feel like anything was changing for her. And then one day at the end of the session, she stood up and she said, I just want to let you know that when I was a child, I was sexually abused and I've never told anybody before. And she turned the hand. She was testing me over 6 sessions really to see if like I would be someone that she could trust, and that would I show her to a God that she could trust. And so I was like, what do I do? So I emailed her, thank you for sharing, I do hope you come back. And she came back. And we spent the next 12 sessions working through past childhood abuse and trauma. And that was a few years ago, and I saw her in the fall at one of our community workshops, and she came up to me and was just, I just thank you, like God has set me free, and I'm so thankful that you had a little part in that, but God has been continuing to work on me, and I am a different person. I could see it. I could see it in her countenance. I could see it in her body language. And so sometimes a challenge is that people are reluctant to trust. So that kind of goes back to that be patient thing again, right? And just not pushing them to an outcome, but allowing them the opportunity to share and to begin to trust God. And another challenge that we have in the beginning is just our own insecurities. I've shared a bunch of mine with you and a bunch of the ways that I struggle as a counselor. And but one of them is just really, like, we don't need all the answers. God's word is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is going to bring things to mind. And that's that Bob Kellerman calls that trialogue of counseling, where it's me and them and then the Spirit of God. And so many times I come out of a session and think, wow, I hadn't thought of that scripture for 3 years. I can't even believe that came out of me today. And that's just the Holy Spirit I can't imagine counseling without the Holy Spirit in the room. And so I'm so thankful for that. But if we're insecure and we're depending on ourselves and not the Holy Spirit, like that can be a barrier to a doing good counseling. So depend on Him for wisdom rather than relying on our personal expertise, because ours just doesn't go very far. But He will give us what we need. And so oftentimes they're telling me something and I'm just praying, just interceding for them that, and then just praying like, God, I'm desperate. I need help. I don't even know what to do or say or where to go. And He provides over and over and over again, everything that I need to be able to do that. And then we also have just that statement I talked about earlier that, thank you for sharing. Thank you for trusting me. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to talk to my pastor. And next week, I'm going to come in here, and I'll have some direction for us to go. But here's some hope that I have for today. And then one of those hope passages that you've already put in your backpack that you can offer them for today. So trust that God is the ultimate counselor working through you. Remember that prayer I shared at the beginning, that Lord, I am not the almighty counselor, but you are, and you will be faithful here with me and this person. And so there's so many other considerations for starting well with somebody. I have some resources up here on the next slide. I love this book. It's in the bookstore. It's really small. This A Biblical Counseling Process by Lauren Whitman. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And it's just really helpful when you're starting. It's a good read and reread. We use it in our training ministry to train new counselors. Learning to Listen up there, that's in the bookstore. It just came out. Joe Hassong wrote that. And he's a great guy that works for Fieldstone with Jonathan Holmes. And so it's another like smaller read, but it was really convicting to me. Just starting to talk about how God listens to us, and then the shaping that framework and how that we listen to others. And then that's our, does that sunspot make that hard? So I don't know if that can get shifted around or something. Oh, it's in my handouts. Yeah, online too. And I'm going to put it up here in session 8. It will be up here again. Maybe it's in the morning, so maybe there won't be any sun in there. But that's the link to our QR code with all of those intake forms, how to begin counseling. There's a session on how to start a counseling ministry in your church. But I'm also just available if any of you want to chat or talk about training in your church. I'll be at the ABC booth some, but I'm happy to meet virtually too with anybody. And so looks like we're just about out of time, and but we'll Lee's back there. I'm here if you have any questions, want to mention something. But let me pray as we head out today, and hopefully you're gonna find this track really practical for taking away. It was good to be with you today. Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you that we have you. We have the Spirit of God, that we are not the almighty counselor that you are. And Lord, that you equip us and that you give us everything we need to be able to minister to those people that are hurting, that are coming into our office like Sarah, afraid, just having a lot of shame, and that don't know us maybe from somebody else, and that need to share their stories and unpack a lot of life. And Lord, I thank you that you give us opportunities like the ABC conference for equipping and growing us as counselors. May you be with us this evening as we get together with our teams, our friends, our families for a meal, and help us to be refreshed and come back tomorrow ready to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you guys.